I must take one moment to express my appreciation to the ladies among us who have been our wives and mothers of our children. And I thank you for the pain, the sacrifices, and for the blessing that you have been to our lives. Thank you. Thank you very much, and may God bless you as you continue in your godly lives. The last time I spoke, I began my remarks by saying that Jesus does not get the credit he deserves for the changes that he made in this world that made it a better place to live, and how after men were converted to him and changed the status of men, women, children, slaves, the poor, and the sick was made so much better place to live. And he made the world a kinder and gentler place for us all. Today, I will make this statement. Jesus does not get the recognition, the consideration, or appreciation for who he truly is. Many, and probably most, and maybe some in this very audience do not know who Jesus truly is. And that might be because you've never really investigated who Jesus is. I like what Dale said just moments ago. Everything that we know about God and Jesus comes from the Bible. And quite frankly, not all of us have read the Bible. So we have different understandings of who Jesus is. To some, Jesus was and is considered today to be just a prophet, just a teacher. To some, Jesus was and is considered today just to be a good man who had a good set of instructions on ethical and moral behavior and how to live a good, peaceful, and productive life. To some, Jesus is just one of many good people, good men, whose teachings can make the world a better place. To some, Jesus is no different than Confucius or Muhammad or Buddha or Joseph Smith or Mahatma Gandhi. That is the truth. To some, even some Christians who call themselves Christians, Jesus is a created being. Who did people, the contemporaries of Jesus, say he was? Well, we know in John chapter 3 that Nicodemus came to Jesus and said, Rabbi. What does rabbi mean? Well, rabbi means great teacher. It was an elevated position in the eyes of the Jews to have the status of a rabbi, because that meant you had mastered the scriptures and were a great teacher of them. So he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. That was the first thing that he recognized. And Jesus really began that office or responsibility at the age of 12. When at that time he was found in the temple to the disgruntlement of his mother, answering difficult questions and asking difficult questions. And it's amazing, the great rabbis of that time about his knowledge and the things that he understood. 13 times Jesus is called and receives the accolade of rabbi from others. And indeed, he says, don't you people, do not be called rabbi. Don't aspire to that title. For there is one who is your teacher, and that is the Christ. And you all are brethren. The Christ is our rabbi, our great teacher, our master teacher. Some thought Jesus to be more than a teacher. And so the conversation of Nicodemus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Some teachers do not come from God. Some teachers spew out the doctrine of demons, according to the Bible. So, we know that you are a teacher come from God. How did he know that? Well, because no one can do the things that you do unless he comes from God and God is with him. So we know by the miracles and for the unerringness of your teaching that you come from God. Jesus asked his apostles one day, "Who do men say I am?" And they knew the people. They were out among them. Some said, "Well, I think he's John the Baptist, who was dead by this time." So they thought he was the reincarnated John the Baptist, or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the other great prophets that's returned to work in this generation. The woman at the well, remember what she said, the Samaritan woman? Because Jesus was able to tell her some things about her life that a stranger would not know. She said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." And Jesus started talking about worshiping in spirit and truth, and God is looking for such people to worship him. And he says, "Yes, I know. Some say we worship in Samaria, some say in Jerusalem, but when Christ comes, he will straighten this all out." And Jesus said, "I am he. I am he." And this woman went into town and said, "Come and see the man who told me all about myself. Isn't this what the Christ is going to do?" And so, she went into town and the people came out and they recognized him. Jesus asked who he was. The woman said, "I perceive you're a prophet." Jesus, when he had turned the loaves into bread, the people saw this thing and said, "Truly, this is the prophet that's come into the world." Just a few days later, or a little while later, in John chapter 7, verse 40, there was many from the crowd who had heard Jesus speak, and he said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Well, what did they mean by the prophet? Well, this refers back to something Moses said in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter and the 15th verse. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like unto me, from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear." And this was a big deal to the Jews. Moses was one of the most revered people in their past. And Moses says, God's going to raise up a prophet like unto me. He will be a prophet. He'll be a great teacher. He will be a lawgiver. He will establish a priesthood, a new covenant, all those things recorded in the past. And him you should pay attention to. So these are some of the things people rightly thought about Jesus. In John chapter 1, beginning with verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And then Nathanael said to him something pretty interesting. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And, you know, isn't it amazing that if you were going to pick a lawgiver, a prophet, a great man, a great leader, wouldn't he have better earthly credentials than Jesus? Wouldn't we look for a king to come out of some nicer, more cosmopolitan, powerful, rich city than a little dusty town of Nazareth, and many other things. But Philip said, you know what? Come and see. Come and see for yourself. And this is the great invitation of the Bible, of God the Father and God the Son. Just come and see. Check it out for yourself. And from the beginning, God has gave us many wonderful things to check into, like creation and the wonder of it and the glory of it, to where God the Father in good conscience can say, you are without excuse for not believing in a divine Godhead and a Creator. Without excuse. I've given you enough evidence if you'll look into it with an honest and open heart. Come and see the Bible and my word. One of the true things about prophecy and inspiration is if I prophesy it and it comes true, centuries later, generations later, in some cases 2,000, 4,000 years later, then it must come from God. It must be true. Check it out. Check it out. That's all he asks. Give it an honest shot. Check out the Bible and see if you don't find it to be true. And so it is with Jesus. Philip says, come and see for yourself. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, whoa, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. And Nathanael said, how do you know me? You know, that would be pretty astounding. Someone you never met says something like that. And Jesus answered him and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now, I have no idea what that really meant to Nathanael, but it was something Nathanael knew that only he knew and only some divine inspiration or insight would have known. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, the first step, you are the Son of God. That's a step above. And you are the King of Israel. And that was astounding. Because all the promises of the Old Testament is for a Savior, a Messiah, who would establish a eternal kingdom and sit on the throne of David forever. And Nathanael recognized that in Jesus, based on Jesus told him something that only God and himself would know. And not just Nathanael, the Samaritan woman. Come and see the man which told me all the things I did. And many of the Samaritans believe because of what the woman testified. And this is how it grows. You know, one of the slides we saw, not everybody is an evangelist, but everybody can tell what Jesus means to you and what Jesus has done to you and that for you. And that is sometimes, it is the most powerful testimony. And so she said, come and see. Come and see. That's all God requires and asks of us, is to check it out for ourselves. So they said to the woman, now, after we've heard him and seen him, we believe. We believe, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. And that's the line I was looking for. After Jesus asked the question to his disciples, who do men say I am? He asked another question. Who do you say I am? You have been with me since my baptism. You have heard all my teachings. You have seen me perform all these miracles. Who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. And that's an interesting statement. If you look at Jesus, an itinerant person, born in a very lowly, humble place of working class people, the son of a peasant girl, and an illegitimate son in the eyes of his neighbors and some of the Jews and the Pharisees, poor, working class, son of a carpenter. No schools of higher education. He did not sit at the feet of any great teachers. No friends in high places. No political or military power. No money. No place in the political or religious hierarchy of his day. But yet, Scripture affirms him to be the Son of God. The things and the miracles that he did and the things that he performed, the raising of the dead, the healing of the sick, the blind see, the lame walk, the broken hearted are made joyful. The captives are set free. He had all the signs of the Messiah, the Son of the Christ, the Son of God. And he had the direct voice of God to recommend who he was. All these things work together in God's way of revealing to mankind who Jesus really is. Matthew 3:17, at his baptism, the voice from heaven, from God the Father, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And later, a second time, at the Mount of Transfiguration, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And Peter recounting this incident in 2 Peter 1:16, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables." And this is what men would do. They would devise a scheme, a business plan, a plan to elevate ourselves in the eyes of people and maybe even convince people I'm the Son of God, and maybe convince people I am divinity. I'm a great preacher sent from God. This is something men would do. They would devise it. And Peter said, make no mistake, we're not following a cunningly devised fable when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Jesus lived in such a way, the things that he taught, the things that he did, the kind of person and character that he had, he conformed to all those prophetic utterances given as many as 4,000 years before he came to earth. And what Peter is saying, the truth and the veracity of those things are confirmed by God's own voice. And we heard it. And we're passing this testimony on to you. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. So the invitation is to come and see. Learn of him, the Word of God, the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior. And just as the sun rises in the east with all the hopes and promises of a new day dawning, so Jesus' light will shine in you and give you a new hope and the promise of a new life and the dawning of a new great and eternal day. Jesus was believed many to be a teacher sent from God, the one that Moses and all the prophets spoke about, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Who did Jesus say he was? Well, all these things he said he was, but much more. In John chapter 8, the chapter that was read in our reading this morning, says as Jesus was going back and forth with people that didn't like him at all, he wasn't what they were looking for in a Savior. He was not what they were looking for in a Messiah. He was not what their king, in their opinion, should be. And he said, "Your father Abraham rejoice to see my day. Then they question him and saying, how do you know Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. Truth was, he wasn't even hardly 33, 34 years old. Abraham lived 2,000 years before, and yet Jesus is talking like he knew the man and knew that Abraham rejoiced to see the coming of his day. And then he made this astounding statement. Before Abraham was, I am. And I don't know if you tied those two verses, the reading of those two different sections of the Bible together. But when Jesus said, I am, what was he saying? He said, I am the one that talked to Moses in that burning bush. And I am the one that told him, my name is I am. And here, 1,500 years later, Moses is standing before a group of distractors and saying, I am. And it was so offensive to them that they took up stones and would have stoned him on the spot for that had he not disappeared in their midst. Some of us might not get it. What does that mean? Well, I am is the name that God said he goes by, and you will know me by it. It means I had no beginning. I will have no end. I have been eternal. You and I had a beginning. Mankind had a beginning. We were created by God. We had a beginning at our conception. We will be everlasting from conception. Everlasting. We will have no end, but we did have a beginning. God will be everlasting, but he's also eternal. He had no beginning. I just am. There's no better way for us to understand it. I am. In the past, I am. Before the beginning of all things, I am. In the future, I am. I am God, eternal, all-powerful, omniscient. That's what he was saying. That's who Jesus was claiming to be. How did he know Abraham? Look at chapter 15 and 18 in the book of Genesis. The Word of God came to Abraham, and the Lord came to Abraham. Well, what does this mean? Well, who is the Word of God? John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. Revelations 19:13. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word of God. The name given on his thigh when he comes at that final last day of judgment. The Word of God. This is how Jesus could claim to know Abraham, who he was, and so forth, because he was there with him 2,000 years ago. After the death of Jesus on the cross, after his resurrection from the dead, he appeared unto his apostles, and one of them wasn't there. His name was Thomas. And I wish we had time to look at this, but Thomas was the guy that said, you know what, I'm not going to believe that he's risen from the dead, not till I see his wounds and place my hand in his wounded side. I can't believe it. Jesus came into them, into their midst, and he asked Thomas, put your hand in my side and the wounds in my hand. And Thomas fell down and worshiped and said, my Lord, my God, who can receive worship? Rightfully, God. Jesus said that to Satan when he was being tempted. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. Jesus said that, but Jesus accepted the worship of men. When he quieted the sea in that raging storm, the men on the boat, when their lives were saved from that awful storm, And saw that Jesus had power over even the winds and the waves, said, certainly you are God's son. And they worshiped him, saying that. Jesus, when they put the blind man, the man who was born blind out of the temple, kicked him out in John chapter 9. Jesus said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said, you've seen him. Now you've seen him since I've restored your sight. And he is the one who's talking with you now. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And we are told in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, that all the angels of the heaven are to worship him, the Christ. Now, I can see a delusional person claiming to be God and allowing people to worship him. And I can see an evil, wicked, twisted, deceitful schemer claiming to be God and allowing him, people to worship him. But I cannot see a good, decent, God-fearing person claiming to be God and allowing people to worship him unless it were true. And that's where we are at when it comes to Jesus. If Jesus is not Lord, C.S. Lewis said it best, he's either a liar or he is a lunatic, or indeed he is Lord. And that's really the three choices we have about Jesus. Who can forgive sins? So that you may know that the Son of Man, which is Christ, has the power to forgive sins, on at least a couple times he healed people. And along with that healing, he said, Son, your sins are forgiven. And he asked the question, which is greater? And it's true he worked by the power that God gave him, but could he have that power and say something untrue? Doesn't even make sense. But yet he accepted worship, he claimed to be the great I Am, and he forgave men their sins. And he says, come unto me. And the bottom line, he, like the angels in heaven say, thou art worthy, and we sang a couple songs today, to receive glory and honor and praise and dominion. For thou hast redeemed us from our sins and made us kings and priests forever. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. The first step is believing Jesus, believing who he said he was. And the second is an unending journey of learning of him. Come unto me, learn of me, and come unto me, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. Who may come unto him? All. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Romans 6:23, and we're just a minute away from ending. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sometimes I wish I could be more like David. Sometimes I feel like I could be like David the king. Remember how he felt when he was bringing the temple into Jerusalem for the first time? He was running, leaping, jumping, praising God. And he said such wonderful things that such knowledge of God is too wonderful for me. It overwhelms me. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. That's been brought to our attention several times. One last passage, if there's any doubt of what the Scripture says about Jesus. We know what Jesus said about him, others said about him, what the Bible said about him. Titus 2:11, and you can read this in your leisure. The grace of God brings us salvation, that brings us salvation, has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, rightly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there any doubt who Scripture affirms Jesus to be? If there is, he goes on, who gave himself for us, who did that? Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. And then he gives Titus this admonition. I want you to speak about these things. And one of them is that we should look for that glorious hope and appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Speak about that. Exhort people about that. And rebuke the naysayers with all authority if they deny that. That's who Jesus is. That's who the Holy Spirit says to promote as our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus claimed to be the great I Am. Scriptures confirm that. God confirms it. Do you believe it? If you do, come unto Him and begin learning more about Him. We offer you the chance to take that great step by coming forward and expressing your belief in Him and your desire to change from your past, to confess Him as Christ, the Son of God, and to be immersed in His name and receive the forgiveness of sin and gift of the Holy Spirit, rising up the dawn of a new, better, and great eternal day that leads to the Father above in heaven. Come now to Him as we stand and sing this closing song.